My name is David D. Levine. I'm an award-winning writer of science fiction and fantasy. I have 4 novels and over 60 short stories published, and I've won awards, including the Hugo and Nebula. I live in Portland, Oregon. I travel a lot, and you can find my website at daviddlevine.com. I always have to use that middle initial because daviddlevine.com was taken.
This is a continuing episode of a series with David D. Levine.
Oh, man. I have always loved to travel, and I was very fortunate to be able to retire at 47, and have spent much of the time since then traveling, and I am really getting into it this year. I've got a lot of kind of built-up travel desire from the pandemic, and so 2 weeks from now, I'm going off to Spain, and in that trip, I'm going to hit Spain, Germany, and Poland. And then just a few weeks after that, I'm going to London for theater, and then I will be back in Spain again later in the year, and then we'll be in Tunisia toward the end of the year. And right now, I just caught the LARP bug, live-action role-playing bug, about 2 years ago now, that I did a live-action role-play of the papal election of 1492. This was organized by science fiction writer and history professor Ada Palmer in conjunction with the Chicago Worldcon, and I just love that role-play of a historical character, a chance to really immerse myself in being this person and improv in shared role play along with the other characters, that it's a chance to have an emotional experience that is far more heightened than anything in everyday life. Kind of like a literal emotional roller coaster, in that you get on a ride that you know is going to put you in fear of your life, but you know you're not actually going to die. So in live-action role play of the type that I'm talking about, this is called a Nordic or European style LARP. It's all about the character emotions. It's all about the character experience, that you are putting yourself in that character's shoes and interacting in character with other people who are also doing improvised role play of their own characters over an extended period, like a long weekend or a week. So I did the papal election LARP in 2022. 2023, I went to a LARP called Meaning of Monarchs in France. There were, I think, about 50 of us in a castle in France role-playing a bunch of characters from the Renaissance. So we had Henry VIII, we had Francois I of France, I played the poet Thomas Wyatt. We were all major Renaissance figures and interacting in character as Henry VIII decided that he was going to break off from Rome and found his own church. And we all had to react to that and deal with it as our characters would.
Ah.
My trip in 2 weeks, I'm going to be going off to Spain where, the director of spaghetti westerns, Sergio Leone, who did all the spaghetti westerns in the 50s, he built a western town in the Spanish desert.
Really?
And so I'm going off with about 50 other people to play a Westworld-based LARP. I will be playing one of the engineers from the corporation that controls the park. A lot of the other players will be playing maintenance people and security people and guests and robots. So everybody has their part to play, and we're all going to be role-playing something based on Westworld. It's not exactly Westworld, but it's very close.
Wow.
Just 2 weeks after that, I'm going off to another LARP, this one at a castle in Poland. The name of the LARP is Fairweather Manor, and we are all playing various nobles and servants in a castle in 1912, right before the Titanic. So it's a LARP based on Downton Abbey, or Upstairs, Downstairs. Later on in the year, I'm going to another LARP in Spain, this one based on the Continental, this one based on the John Wick movies. So I'll be playing an assassin. And in October, I'm going to Tunisia to play a H.P. Lovecraft LARP in the actual Sahara Desert.
Wow.
You know, so this is something that I'm really getting into. And so this is what I'm doing all of my travel for this year. Oh, but I am also going to London for theater, and I'm going to Scotland for the World Science Fiction Convention.
Cool. Wow. Wow. A couple of questions on the LARP. Is it done like a movie? Like there's a single thread that everyone shows up for that scene for and role plays it? Or is there side role playing going outside of the main event or something?
If you can imagine a murder mystery party that runs for a whole weekend.
Okay.
Everybody's playing their own characters, not 24/7, but all during, you know, during, I mean, not during sleeping hours, but during the working day. Oh. Everybody is playing their own character and interacting with all the other characters. And, you know, whether there is a single main thread that everybody touches on, or whether everybody is entirely playing their own role, is something that I think varies from LARP to LARP. I haven't been to a lot of them, huh. Even though I caught the LARP bug and I've signed up for a bunch of them, but I've only actually played two so far.
Oh, that's, yeah, yeah.
And in both of those, for example, in the papal election LARP, the big main thread was the election of the Pope, which in our LARP, as in the real world, we elected Borgia, you may recall him. And so the election of the Pope and the consequences of that were the main thread, but we all had our own agendas. You know, my character had a bunch of younger siblings to find. I had a bunch of younger siblings to find spouses for. He was also worried about maintaining political power, both his own political power within his family and also maintaining his family's political power in amongst the various nobles of Italy. So everybody, as in real life, everybody has their own agendas and their own priorities. And wow. So at Fairweather Manor, there's going to be 150 of us, 150 players. There's no single thread that everybody is attached to. Everybody has their own thing to play. And in the Meeting of Monarchs LARP, the main thread was that Henry VIII and Francois I of France were getting together to sign a peace treaty. And Henry had his thing with marrying Anne Boleyn and breaking off from the church. Francois also had his own thing. I was a member of the English church, the English court, so I had a lot more, I was paying a lot more attention to what was going on with Henry, but I'm sure that everybody in the French court had their own thing to do as well. None of it is scripted, although there are major incidents that are triggered by the organizers, but everything that everybody does or says is improv on the spot.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, so now as soon as you get out of the taxi, are you in character, or is there a sort of a, you settle in and there's a gong that announces it's time to be in character, or?
There's usually, there's a schedule, of course.
Oh, okay.
And usually what happens is you're given, you know, you're saying, okay, everybody needs to show up on site by 10 o'clock, and you need to be in costume by 2 in the afternoon, and there will be, everybody brings their own costumes. And then, and you need to be in costume by 2 in the afternoon. And we're going to do workshops and orientation for a couple of hours before the role play begins with dinner on the first evening.
Wow.
So that's how it works. Well,
that's really cool. So it's kind of like a conference. I mean, you have, like, if you will, informational panels. Or I don't know if I'm going to use that word. And then you have the live action part. So, okay. Yeah, there's like self-developmental for the period of time and the things that you're doing. And then you go into the action part.
And we've been given a lot of background material. We got our character sheets, and there's, you know, historical background information. For the Pope one, this was done by a history professor, so it was originally intended as an educational exercise. Hmm. She runs for her students every year over a period of like 2 weeks. This particular one was just a long weekend that was done for her friends and associates. So it was more compressed, and none of us were given a grade at the end of it, but we were given a lot of background material. And so, for the Fairweather LARP, I have got like a 7-page character sheet just for myself. And we also have access for this one. We're allowed to read everybody else's character sheet, so nobody has any secrets.
Mm.
Other LARPs, obviously, characters have secrets, and you're not allowed to read somebody else's character sheet and find out what they're trying to hide from you.
Okay, awesome. Wow, that sounds brilliant. Is there somewhat a competitive thing that can happen? Meaning, is there a goal that's achieved that makes you a winner of some kind, or...
Oh, there's no awards at the end of it. In the Pope LARP, when she does it for her students, your grade depends not on whether you achieve your goals, but how well you portrayed your character.
Okay.
Because often we are called upon to act not according to our own priorities, but according to our character's priorities. And sometimes also characters are required by circumstance to take actions that do not advance their own agendas. And sometimes you have to do that. And so certainly some LARPs have heroes and villains, or at least more or less likable characters. But just because the villain wins doesn't mean that the LARP was not a success. Because if everybody has fun, if everybody has an intense emotional experience and comes away going, wow, that was so amazing, then that's a win for everybody. So it is it's a cooperative role-playing game rather than a competition.
Cool. Yeah, but you know how humans, they get involved and competitions can erupt, but it sounds like it's not structured that way, and so it's whatever happens kind of thing.
Yeah, no, there's no score. None of the LARPs that I have played in have a combat mechanic. When you say LARP in America, most people think going into a park and hitting each other with foam swords. The kind of LARP that I'm talking about is called Nordic LARP. It goes by a bunch of names, but Nordic LARP is common. And it is focused on the character interactions and the role play rather than the combat. Although there often is a combat mechanic, and sometimes you will draw cards or flip coins in order to determine the outcome of an interaction. But in the LARPs that I've been playing, when there is a situation that's going to result in combat, the requirement is that the characters move aside and negotiate the combat. You know, what are we going to do? How is it going to run, at least approximately, and who's going to win? And you negotiate the combat before you go in so that everybody can focus on making the fight look good rather than to win.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, yeah. No, that's probably a wise way to do it. I mean, it's because it keeps it... it's less about your... I mean, unless you're a trained fighter going up against other trained fighters, it's just not... It's about role playing, so yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. The mechanic is more stage combat than SCA fighting. If you're familiar, the SCA is kind of the Society for Creative Anachronism, which is people who dress up in medieval clothes and get together and role play being a medieval character for a while. Generally speaking, the role play is not as big a part of the SCA as the research and the costume making and the artifact making and the politics and the fighting. And so SCA is related to the kind of LARP that I'm talking about, but it's not the same thing. Hi, my name is David D. Levine. I'm an award-winning writer of science fiction and fantasy. I have 4 novels and over 60 short stories published, and I've won awards, including the Hugo and Nebula. I live in Portland, Oregon. I travel a lot, and you can find my website at daviddlevine.com. I always have to use that middle initial because daviddlevine.com was taken. I would like to say that my first 3 published novels, Arabella of Mars and its 2 sequels, have recently been reissued by Open Road Media in with fabulous new covers. They're only available as ebooks, but the good news is that the ebooks are available all over the world, whereas the initial tour edition of the Arabella books was only available in North America. So this is an opportunity for my friends in the UK and Australia to buy these books as ebooks, which they never could before. I'm very happy that those books are back in print.
Check out the goodies in the show notes, because we've got links to David D. Levine's Wikipedia history and some other things that we picked up as we ran the series. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player for your easy access. If you downloaded the MP3 from a website, go back to the page where you got the MP3, and there you will see the show notes. The series started at episode 283. If you're like my friend Boris and you missed the first episode, go to scifithoughts.space and type in to the search box there, 283, and there it'll find the episode and episodes that you may have missed. This is the last episode of the series, but if you missed something in the middle, don't worry. Go to your favorite search engine and type in Sci-Fi Thoughts, David D. Levine, and there you will find the series page.